Welcome once again to World on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Shotimer, and our guest this week, Lana Pickering. Each week we visit with a local author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask them to introduce us to their work and hope for a glimpse into their lives. We try to find out what prompts them to write and give them an opportunity to read to us from their work. We're very pleased to have novelist Lana Pickering with us today. Welcome, Lana.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Lana Pickering lives in beautiful Northumberland County with her husband, son, and crazy yellow lab, Mater. By day, she diligently crunches numbers and provides support for many at the university in Oshawa. In her free time, she loves to write and fulfill her passion as a storyteller. Lana reads and writes all she can, whether it's about romance, fantasy, or the things that inspire her. Rewriting Love is Lana's first attempt at self-publishing, which she launched in June 2018. She wrote this story for her very first NaNoWriMo writing project in 2016. Lana's next romance novel is well underway, and she's hoping to have that self-published in the fall of 2019. She also has a young adult and an adult fantasy novel in development. Got lots of work going on.
I do.
So before we talk about your writing, tell us a little bit about NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo is kind of an acronym of sorts that stands for the National Novel Writing Month, and that's actually November. It's a challenge that you pose to yourself to write 50,000 words in 30 days. It's actually a worldwide event. And it started about 15 years ago, and it was a way to help encourage writers to actually just sit down and write, just to let the words pour out and leave the editing for another day. So they actually do have other events throughout the year called Camp NaNoWriMo, or they do have a young writers program as well. If you want a whole lot more information about NaNoWriMo, if you go to NaNoWriMo.org, you can join in there.
Okay, and you can find out everything.
So, correct.
And how did you become involved with it?
I actually first heard about it when I attended the Ontario Writers Conference, mm-hmm. and then I got involved with a writers group. This is the third year that I've actually taken the challenge, and I'm happy to say that I completed my 50,000 words in 28 days this year. So,
well done. And have you completed 50,000 words every time you've done it?
Every time I've done it, yes.
I see. You are really determined person.
I do try, for sure. So
so you organized the Coburg chapter in the last year or so, haven't you?
Yes, I did it this year, and in previous years there were other people who organized it. So I've been part of that group for the 3 years, mm. and all we do, we come together, we organize locations and dates and times for write-ins, and it's a great way to encourage those who are either new to writing or they're not as confident in writing to kind of get together and just write. So mm-hmm. we'll have things there to help for writing prompts, and it's just nice to kind of bounce your ideas off of other people. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's interested in joining in NaNoWriMo for next year, if you just send me a message on my Facebook page at Lana J. Pickering, I'll be sure to add you to the mailing list.
Okay. And tell me, how many people belong to this group? You actually meet in a physical way, right?
In a physical location. Yeah. This year we were at the Coburg Library, the Port Hope Library, wherever we can get some space, really. So, and this is a non-profit thing, so we kind of find the cheapest space we can possibly get mm-hmm. and just all sit around and do that. Roughly, it can be anywhere from like 15 people to 4. So it really, it just depends on who wants to join in.
Mm-hmm. What proportion of people stick with it and complete their 50,000 words, would you say?
I think there's a generous number of people who actually do complete the 50,000 words. And because it is worldwide, you actually can go on and actually hear people talk about their stuff. They send out podcasts. They do a whole bunch of stuff, so you can actually be part of that whole worldwide thing.
Yeah.
But I think the underlying goal, everyone wants to read 50,000 words, but we just want to encourage people to actually sit down and write. Mm-hmm. And whether you do 5,000, whether you do 100 or 50,000, it's just you sitting down and getting your words on paper. or okay. however you want to do that on the computer screen, however that works for you.
You're doing a good job on encouraging everybody to join you.
Oh, yes.
So let's see what happens.
Fingers crossed.
So tell us about the inspiration for your novel, Rewriting Love.
Okay, so personally, I'm always drawn to stories about strong women. So those women that can persevere through hard times and come out on top. I don't know the exact trigger for this particular story, but I have always been a lover of love stories, and this story evolved from wanting my main characters to be everyday people who figure out life's ups and downs. I also wanted it to show the importance of family and the hard decisions that parents have to make when it comes to their children. And I also wanted to stress in my story about how much friends can mean to your life and the role they play in my character's life, in the development of that story.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will get to some more questions about Rewriting Love in a minute.
Sure.
So how about introducing us in the meanwhile to the main characters in the novel?
Okay, perfect.
And telling us about the setting, because why did you choose an American small town?
Okay. Actually, I'll tell you about that in a second. Let me just talk about my two main characters. Julia Whitmore is my female protagonist. After she loses her husband in a car accident, she decides to start a new life with her son, Ian, when he starts to get into a lot of trouble. So she packs up and leaves Chicago and moves to a small town called Heritage Falls. Moving to a small town is an adjustment for her from living in the big city, but she knows it's the right move for Ian, and also knows that this is the next step for her in moving on. So my second character is raising his name's Jake Vincent, and he has two daughters, and he's trying to raise them the best that he can while trying to run his business. Unfortunately, he has an ex-wife who doesn't make that any easier. And he's been alone for a long time, but he's taken steps towards moving on, getting his second chance. And he doesn't want to just find just anyone. He wants somebody who is going to mean more to him and more to his girls, someone who will fulfill all of their lives. So they meet by chance, and things progress, and they become intertwined in each other's lives. Not just physical attraction, but more friendship and support that they give to one another as they're trying to raise their families. So, and the reason that I chose an American town for this setting, it was because part of the backstory is there's a link to organized crime. And when I think organized crime, I think Chicago. And so that kind of made that link for me easier. So because of the deep history there, Heritage Falls is not a real location. It's
no,
a made-up location, but it came to me. So yeah, that's why it's set in the U.S. and not in Canada.
Right. Okay. So how about reading to us?
Okay. Perfect. So the first reading I'm going to do is, this is our first introduction to Julia at the beginning of her fresh start with her son, Ian. The faint sound of rain on the windshield pulled Julie out of her thoughts. At least it wasn't raining too hard at this point, as driving on unknown roads in the rain was not her idea of a good time. Actually, driving anywhere when it rained was not her idea of fun at all. The music on the radio changed to something upbeat. She turned it up, just slightly, to keep her mind off the weather. Julia glanced over to the passenger seat where her son lay reclined with his headphones on. Well, at least if he's sleeping, we aren't arguing, she thought. Second-guessing herself for the past week, she wondered if her decision to move was too rash. If only Ian hadn't gotten in with the wrong crowd of people in Chicago. But those kids were having a bad influence on him. The last straw was having the police show up at her door with Ian in the back seat of their cruiser. He and his peeps were caught vandalizing a warehouse. There was no charges laid and only a warning given, but there was no way Julia was going to allow him to go down that road. Between that offense, the underage drinking at a party, smoking cigarettes out behind the school, and the joint she found in his dresser, which he'd said didn't belong to him, it was more than enough. After the police left that night, she pulled up the house listings online for the furthest possible location from Chicago, while still remaining in the state. That was why they were currently heading to Heritage Falls, Illinois. Telling Ian they were moving erupted into arguments and threats that he would run away, and she in turn yelled and screamed and told him she wished he was old enough to leave. Then she broke down into tears, and so did he. They held each other and cried because nothing had been the same since Martin had died. It had been almost 2.5 years since his death, taken so suddenly in that car accident. Now every time she drove in the rain, she cringed. Martin's car had skidded out of control on a rainy night because of the wet roads. Their lives had been shattered in mere seconds. They say time heals, but it was a painfully slow process. Slowing down to be sure she could read the house numbers on the side of the road, she could see the mailboxes with their last names on them. Pulling into the driveway, she stepped out of the SUV. Julia stretched out her legs and back. It had been a long drive, and she was glad to be out of the confines of the truck. Taking one more look around, she leaned back into the truck. "Yo, sleepyhead, we're here." Ian slowly lengthened out his legs and arms as best he could inside the truck. Sitting up, he took to his surroundings. Looking over at his mother, he said with a serious tone, "Please tell me there's internet service." Julia laughed. "How did I know that would be the first question you asked me?" "Oh, right, because teenagers can't possibly go 5 minutes without being connected, unless they're asleep." Ian stared at her with concern on his face. "Mom, please don't joke. This is serious." Rolling her eyes, she headed to the back of the SUV to start unloading. "Yes, my child, the internet guy will be here tomorrow morning to install. Sorry I couldn't get them here today, but I wasn't exactly sure what time we were going to arrive. Tomorrow was the best I could do. You'll just have to deal with it for now. Besides, you're going to be too busy today to be playing on the internet." Ian walked to the back of the truck and asked, "Doing what?" Julia pulled out a sleeping bag and gave it a little shove into Ian's stomach, unpacking. Mumbling, Ian grabbed the sleeping bag and headed towards the house. He stopped and spun around to stare at her, panic on his face. "Do you think they deliver out here?" "Deliver what?" Julia wasn't sure what he was talking about. "Food, Mom. We're going to starve." "We're not going to starve. That's why there are grocery stores. We stock up and we make meals. Besides, I'm sure we can order stuff and go pick it up." Ian huffed out a breath. "But there's no good pizza places around here anyways. You can't get as good a pizza as you can get at Sal's." He turned and walked to the front porch. Julia called out to Ian, who slowly glanced back at her. "Please give this a chance, babe. This will be an adjustment for the both of us, but we agreed." Ian stared at her for a minute, then said in a slightly sarcastic tone, "Well, you decided, and I was forced to agree. But if that's your story..." Since she felt her anger rise, she tilted her head to one side, saying, "Okay, how about we agree that your actions have led us down the path to our current location?" She watched as Ian's shoulders slump. "Mom, it wasn't that big a deal." "Really? Not that big a deal? Police officers, to me, are big deal." She sighed, peered at the sky for a moment, and then back to her son. "You know what? I'm not going to argue about this anymore. We're here, and we will be starting life 2.0 right now. Comprende?" Sighing, Ian looked at her. "Comprende."
Thank you, Lana. We've been speaking with writer Lana Pickering about her debut novel, Rewriting Love. Now we'll take a short break.